Good morning. Oh, that was pretty weak. Good morning. Oh, much better, much better. Trinity is a place that we hope makes you feel comfortable and at home. And we have a beginning liturgy that we use to emphasize that. So, welcome home.
It's great to be home.
And why are we here?
To worship God.
Great. Let us begin. Yes. Oh, Allison is going to come and do our mission moment today, help us understand what our special mission offering boxes are for.
Good morning. My name is Allison Heffington, and I just finished my freshman year at Florida State University. This will be my fifth ASP. Appalachia Service Project is an organization that serves lower-income families in the Appalachia region by providing them with home repairs and assistance to help make their homes warmer, safer, and drier. ASP is my favorite part of the summer. I've learned so much about myself and the people around me and the families that we serve. My first ASP, it probably took me 30 minutes to hammer in a nail. So I've grown so much in construction and more than that, my relationships with the people around me. I really love it so much. So thank you so much for your support and your prayers and your everything. Thank you.
Good morning and welcome to Children's Sunday. During the year, our children have opportunities through Sunday school, cheers, vacation Bible school, and stepping stones to follow Jesus. On Children's Sunday, they let their light shine and share their love of Jesus with you. We want to thank all of our youth, adults, and parents who help our children understand that they are loved unconditionally by God. Their nurturing spirit and commitment guide our children to become disciples of Jesus Christ. As you know, our fifth graders are our leaders in our children's department. And at the last service, the number of them stood who had become the citizen of the month, which is a great honor in our public school system. Some of them have even become citizen of the year. With your continued support and love, we know that all of our children, from babies to our fifth graders, will grow up to be leaders in the church. Perhaps they will be a parent who lovingly brings their family to Sunday school. They may become a Sunday school teacher or even a minister. Our Trinity children are on such an exciting faith journey. We are so grateful to our music team and our children's ministries team who join us in ministry with children and families. We appreciate their dedication and loving hearts. Please join us as we prepare for summer Sunday school and vacation Bible school. Just an update on vacation Bible school. We have about almost 300 children enrolled, which means about 18 classes, but only 6 of them can be considered fully staffed. So we need your help. This is an incredible week with the children, and you'll gain so much from it as well as the children. There are sign-up sheets back there at the balloons, so we invite you to come back at the end of the service. Thanks so much, and enjoy the worship service.
Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the world made flesh, to recognize sorrow and make new, who works in us, others in the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to see injustice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life and death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks to God. Amen.
As we turn our hearts and thoughts to God in prayer, we want to lift up our joys and concerns. We want to remember that Jennifer Shaw Patel is at Shands. She's from Boca Raton United Methodist Church. Virginia Phillips is in Haven Hospice. Dot Stout and Frances Allison are in Palm Garden. Betty Fernweger is in North Florida Rehab. Pray for her and her husband, Al. And Barbara Parker is in Ayers Rehab in Trenton. Also, Ginger Robertson passed away this last week. She's Chris Fortner's sister. And Eva Dimitrov, Sally and Diana Phillips, and John Thomas are all receiving cancer treatments. And we're asked to pray for Marie Brown, who is having surgery tomorrow at North Florida Regional. Let us pray.
We hope you've had a chance to read the inside of the bulletin. Those are the prayers of our children. And Ray will be reading a prayer that's compiled from those words.
Dear God, let us pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the sun, the moon, the stars, and for the beautiful rainbows in the sky. Thank you for dinosaurs, alligators, and crocodiles. Thank you for cats, chickens, birds, and pretty dresses. Thank you for giving us parents, brothers, and sisters. Thank you for a home and a bed to sleep in. Thank you for always being there through good times and bad. Thank you for the church and baptism. Thank you for loving us and always forgiving us. Thank you for making us special and creating us the way you did. As we gather together this Sunday to praise your name, we ask that you will be with all of the sick people and people who need help. Please be with the soldiers as they protect our country. Please watch over our parents when they travel on long trips for work. We pray that the homeless will have homes and the rich will give to the poor. Please watch over us and keep us safe. We are so happy to be on this planet to serve you. All these things we ask in Jesus' name, he taught his disciples to pray, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
of water, earth, and sky. The heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy. Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth. Early in the morning, I will celebrate the light. When I stumble in the darkness, I will lift your name. You are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy. God of wonders beyond our
Let's express our thanks again. These girls have been here for 4 hours this morning. That's quite an offering. And will the ushers come forward to receive today's offering? What we do in taking up the offering is not just take and collect money for the church. It is a symbol as part of our act of worship to represent the giving and offering of ourselves to God, which includes far beyond our money, our talents and gifts, as we find ways to serve our Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you so much for the ways that you have gifted each one of us with natural talents and abilities, and with particular spiritual gifts. We thank you for your gift of life and the gift of your Holy Spirit that empowers us to love like you love. And in that sense, we praise you and offer you our thanks by giving you these tithes and gifts. Consecrate them and all of us to your work of bringing your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Oh,
Wow, thank you for that offering. I love that arrangement. That is wonderful. Our scripture for today is both from the Old Testament and from the New Testament. And the first passage comes from the prophet Jeremiah. Israel entered the promised land. And if you read the story in the scripture, it's a story of God's people being close to God, being faithful to God, and then drifting away. Being called back to repent, and they drift, they go back to God, and then they, over time, drift away again. From the Garden of Eden, at the beginning of Genesis, all the way through the book of Revelation, that's the story of humanity's relationship with God. We're close, we drift away, we come back, we drift away. God is a God of many chances and constant forgiveness. And during one of those times, this was at the end of Israel's time in the land of Judah, in Jerusalem, Jeremiah was one of the many prophets that God had sent, calling them back into relationship. And he had the distinguished honor of having to carry God's message to his people. And one day, God told Jeremiah, "Up on your feet, go to the potter's house. When you get there, I'll tell you what I have to say." This is a kind of a living parable. "So I went to the potter's house, and sure enough, the potter was there, working away at his wheel. Whenever the pot the potter was working on turned out badly, as sometimes happens when you're working with clay, the potter would simply start over and use the same clay to make another pot. Then God's message came to me. Can't I do just as this potter does? In the same way that the potter works his clay, I work on you." Later on, this is an image that runs throughout the Old Testament and even into the New Testament as an understanding of whose world this is. This is my Father's world, who makes us all. And in the 9th chapter of Romans, Paul writes, "Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, 'Why did you make me like this?' Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes and some for common use?" This is the word of God. Thanks be to God for that. We have two short, what they call speed videos, to illustrate the making of pots by a potter. Would that it could be done so fast. Isn't that amazing? And this is a different pot. Can you imagine God shaping you like that? Will you pray for me as I pray for you? Almighty God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you alone are our strength, our Redeemer, and our Potter. Amen. For a long time, almost every human being at some time or another asks the question, "Why am I here? What is the purpose for my life? Is there some reason for me to be here?" Some of us find answers to that early on. Some of us never really do. Some of us work at it, trying to find the answer. Some of us really don't even try. We just go through life. I'm told that Elvis Presley believed in God. And Elvis firmly believed that God had a specific purpose for his life, that God had something he wanted Elvis to do. But Elvis was kind of afraid of what that might be, and one of his friends said he constantly went on stage to keep from having to think about what that purpose might be. So a lot of his music was a way of avoiding facing the reality of God's call on his life. When pots are made, there's a process that it goes through. They're made for different purposes. This one is a salad bowl. And this one's wood, but it could have been clay. This one was made to be a nice, pretty, decorative flower pot. This one was made to be the same, but not quite so decoratively. And this one could be used in the house or a back porch. It's a more decorative. This is a pot, perhaps to be used as a candy dish. And this is a bowl for soup or salad, something like that. And this, which is made out of metal, but that's probably not what the one Jesus used was made out of. When he washed his disciples' feet, it was probably clay as well. Every one of them is different. And yet, the potter made each one of them to achieve a particular purpose. God's point to Jeremiah is that I have a particular purpose for the nation of Israel. To be a light to the nations. To let all the world know what God was like and what God's love was like. But Israel was constantly moving in and out of that kind of effectiveness. Today, I'd like us to remember that the pot did not choose what it was going to be. That's what the potter decided. And there's a process the potter goes through to make these pots, which is why I showed the videos. The first is to imagine what the pot's going to be. Why am I making a pot? Does a potter just sit down at the wheel to make pots for nothing? No, he sits down to make pots for a reason. And he makes the pots with a purpose in mind. Because the purpose determines how he's going to shape and form the pot. So, I recall that Old Testament passage that says, "Before you were born, I knew you in your womb, your mother's womb." God had a purpose for making each one of us when we were created. But there, and in the nation of Israel, he had to remind them time and again. And once he said, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." However, there's a difference between those inanimate pots and us clay human beings. The difference is that when God created us, he gave us emotions. Pot doesn't feel, we do. And he gave us the most remarkable gift of all creation, the power of free will. Pot has no choice at all. Every one of us has the power to choose to be what God created us to be, or the power to say, "No, I don't want to do that." We have the power to love God. We have the power to choose to love one another. But with it comes the power to hate or to ignore, to simply choose not to love. One of the biggest problems we have that comes with this concept of free will and emotions is our self-centeredness. Everybody always smiles when a new baby comes into the world. Oh, how cute and innocent it is. I always just grin because I don't know of any human being that's more self-centered than a baby. The world revolves around that little baby. It controls the world. My psychology professor in college said the greatest and most difficult lesson a child has to learn, the most painful thing it has to learn, is that the world does not revolve around it. It's a rude awakening. But we tend to be very self-centered, believing that serving God is all about us, when it really has nothing to do with prestige or honor or power or any kind of glory for us. It's not about us at all. It's all about what God wants to do through us. It doesn't make us any more special. There's nothing more special about one of these pots than another. The only thing that makes them valuable is whether or not they serve the purpose for which they were made. And when the potter imagines what he wants it to be, that's how he forms it, so it will function really well. I was in the grocery store some time back, and I turned down an aisle, and there was a mother and a young child walking down the aisle. And as I followed along, they were engaged in some conversation. And the child started arguing with the parent. And the child was trying to set the rules and decide what was going to be done. When they got to the end of the aisle, the mother turned to the child and said, "And who's the parent here?" You know, every once in a while, we have to be reminded that God is God, not us. But we like that sense. So imagine the purpose. The second thing the potter has to do is center the clay on the wheel. Because if the clay isn't centered, as the wheel spins around, the clay gets, by centrifugal force, thrown around, and that force can pull the clay apart and send it spinning in different directions. Unless it's centered, it can't be properly formed. And I think one of the greatest battles that all of us Christians struggle with in our life is keeping our life centered on God. Only then is God able to really form and shape us into what God wants us to be and do. That was the problem with Israel. They couldn't stay centered on God. And I have to admit that even as pastor, that's the greatest challenge of my life. There are just so many things that interrupt. We're so busy. There's so much to do. I don't have time to spend with God today. Our founder, John Wesley, used to get up at 5 o'clock every morning and spend at least an hour in prayer. And he said, if I had more to do that day than I had time to do, I got up at 4 instead of 5. He wouldn't miss his time in prayer. To keep himself centered on God. Centering the clay. That's what makes us effective in being able to be formed. And then there's the opening up of the clay. You saw in the video how he took the lump and then he stuck his thumbs down in the middle and just sort of opened it up like this. You know, one of the realities is you can't be effective as a pot unless there's space inside, something that can be filled. What God wants to do in us is open us up to the possibilities of love and the power of His Holy Spirit to work in us. It takes that kind of power to enable us to love like Jesus loves. And it's difficult because love challenges sometimes everything that we think about ourselves. Opening up the clay. One of the interesting things is that as Jeremiah went down there and watched the potter work, he saw that the clay was marred. It wasn't the potter who broke the clay. It was because of a defect in the clay, a hard lump or something got in there. And when it hit the potter's hand, it tore the clay. And so the potter had to just take the whole clay and rework it, soften it up, and put it back on the wheel and start over again. For us, opening up and shaping the clay is a hands-on operation from God. And opening up is simply making us available to what God wants to use us for. How do you see God opening your life up to new possibilities? And if you haven't done this before, what I'd like you to do is sit down and draw a timeline of your life, just a straight line across a piece of paper, and sit down and take a few minutes to jot down all the major events of your life, painful ones and joyful ones, those significant changes, and think back over that and look at how God has been at work opening you up to the possibilities of being able to love in ways you didn't think were possible. Some of us still have a long way to go. We still have issues about love we have to deal with. I knew a young man in high school who had his first date. I think he was around a junior at the time. He met this girl, they got tied, and they went on this first date. And they continued to date for a while, and they got really hot and heavy there for a while. And then all of a sudden, she decided she wanted to be with another guy. And she said, bye. That young man never dated again. The pain of that rejection left him closed to the possibility of love. And it took some other special events in his life, much later in his life, long after he was an adult, and involved in his career, before something opened him up. And the possibility of love started afresh. God needs to open us up and help us learn how to be a vessel for His love. Sometimes we don't want to be what God wants us to be. It's amazing to me, all the people who have curly hair want it to be straight. All the people with straight hair want it to be curly. All of us with no hair want more. There's something about that. Some of us who are introverted wish we could be more extroverted. Some of us who are short wish we could be taller. There's all sorts of ways we wish we could be like someone else. And whenever, as a pastor, I would talk with someone about what they could do to serve God, one of the key excuses I get is, well, why don't you ask her? Or why don't you ask him? They would be so much better at this than I. Well, I wasn't asking them. I was asking you. Because I was wanting you to consider this is an opportunity for God to open you up to what God could do with your life. There was a minister of a large church in New York City who invited one of his prominent members in and asked him to head up a financial campaign they were having for a project in their congregation. And after listening to it, the man said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll do it on one condition. Pastor said, what's that? He said, I'll do it if you'll guarantee me it'll be a success. And the pastor looked at him and said, if I could guarantee that, I wouldn't need you. We need to be letting God open us up so that we can be properly shaped. And one of the ways of doing that is what we're looking at in our study of a disciple's path these 6 weeks. One of the things we look at this particular week is the concept of spiritual gifts. Not natural talents or abilities, but particular gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know if all of you know this, but in the United Methodist Church and in most of the major denominations, we believe that when you invite Christ into your heart, God also gives you the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not the kind of Pentecost experience that the disciples first had. That was an experience for their time and place. But God gives you the power of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit gives you a particular gift that God wants you to use to fulfill God's purpose for your life. So discovering what your spiritual gift is one of the ways you help determine what God wants you to be and do. On our website, there is a spiritual gifts inventory. If you want to take one of those, there are many of them around. You can find them on the internet, or you can find it on our website, or if you don't do that, if you call the church office, we'll see that you get one. It's a simple simple test, and it gives you an idea about what your spiritual gifts might be. And then you have to ask friends who really know you, friends that you can trust to be honest with you, do you see these as my gifts? And once you kind of have an idea, you experiment with them, you try them, you see, what does God bless that you do in your life? Because Jesus says, when you do what God is asking you to do, then you will be blessed 30, 60, and 100-fold. That means an unbelievable harvest. When you use your spiritual gift, God empowers it and blesses it in a way that is just absolutely remarkable. Discover your spiritual gift. It helps open you up to be an effective vessel for God's love. The next thing he did was keep it wet in order to keep it moldable. He had to keep adding water to the clay. If the clay dried out very quickly, it would crack and break. He wants to keep it moldable, and he wants to keep us moldable. And one of the ways that we allow ourselves to be moldable is to stop comparing us to other people. You see, because we'd like to be that pot, not this one. So being moldable means looking at your own life and accepting the task that God gives you. There's nothing more special about one of these than the other, but we get caught up in all these issues of pride. We get caught up in these issues of comparing one another and outdoing one another. Paul says if you're going to outdo one another in love. In Luke 22, a dispute arose among Jesus' own close inner circle of disciples as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. And Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. I am among you as the one who will do the lowliest task that is normally given to the lowest servant or the lowest female in the household. It would be like the President of the United States coming down here and washing your feet. I am among you as one who serves." There's another thing that prevents us from being moldable, and that's fear. Could be fear of failure. Could also be fear of success. Sometimes if we're afraid that if we succeed, we'll be asked to do this again. We don't want to do it again. We're taking a big risk just doing it once. Fear of change. Yet change is constant in our life. But we fear it as one of the greatest things in our lives. Fear of getting outside of our comfort zone. We don't like being out there. We like it where it's nice and cozy and safe. But I think I was a senior in high school when someone told me to love is to risk. To love is to risk. If you aren't willing to take a risk, then you're not likely to experience love in your life. It takes something else to open you up to that possibility. Fear of what others will say. Then, the last stage, of course, is the firing and the glazing. Firing and the glazing. They fire, they take the clay pot, the finished one, after they've smoothed it out with sponges and gotten the water off of it, and they let it dry, and then they stick it in a kiln, and they bake it at 850 degrees for 12 hours until it's solid clay. But as clay, it's still porous. So they, after it cools from being heated in the kiln and baked, then they put a glaze on it. And the glaze is designed to seal it so it won't leak. Now, you might want some water to leak out the bottom of a flower pot, but not if it's an inside plant. You don't want soup leaking out of your soup bowl onto the table. So this last opportunity is the firing and glazing. How do you see God? Yeah, one of the issues, one of the reasons for firing it and glazing it is that the firing of it takes the impurities out of the clay. So my question for you is, how do you see God taking the impurities out of your capacity to love like God? It's a painful process to be baked at 850 degrees for 12 hours. It always hurts. But in the end, it's necessary to be a useful vessel. Love means nothing unless it's expressed. God calls us to be the expressions of His love in very practical ways. Peter, He said after His resurrection, and Peter had denied Him, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" That's the key question for us all. And John says in chapter 4, if anyone says, "I love God," yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And He has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. So how I treat others will depend a great deal on how I allow God's love to flow through my own life. Sometimes, though, we never even know what the results of being used are. Two young boys went to a church service one Sunday evening. The church was nearly full, and they couldn't easily see a seat that was open, and so they turned to leave. But one of the alert ushers noticed this, and he said, "Wait a minute, don't leave. I'll find you a seat." And he looked around until he found two seats for these boys together, and he took them up and seated them there and left. I doubt that usher gave that another thought. But at the end, when the pastor gave his altar call, both of those boys came to the altar and gave their life to Jesus Christ. One of those boys was Billy Graham, whose life went on to connect millions of people with Jesus Christ. What would have happened if that usher, using his simple gifts of hospitality, had not found those boys a seat? we never always know what the outcome will be. Use your gifts to love others like God loves them. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. The fun is just learning how to do that. And sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's painful. Particularly when we look inside ourselves. The secret is very least very simple. It's letting God be God, letting God be the potter, and us being willing to be the vessel of clay. One young boy in a large city was selling newspaper, but it was in the winter, and it was very cold, and it began to snow. And the streets were very, very empty, and he couldn't sell any newspaper. And as he was walking around, he saw this church, and so he turned into the church, and he sat down in the back pew and said, well, at least I can get warm. And the preacher was preaching away at his sermon, and he waited until after the sermon to take up the offering. I know that's a dangerous thing to do. Some preachers I know won't dare do that. But that's what this pastor did. And they passed the plate along, and as the plate came back to the boy, he looked around and he said, I don't have anything. I have nothing to put in the plate. And when the plate came to him, he set it down in the aisle next to his seat. And then he stood in the plate. And people turned around and said, what are you doing? He said, if God could give himself for me, the least I can do is give myself to God. Will you do that? Will you be willing to serve as God has called and equipped and formed you to serve in your own unique way? Let us pray. Our mighty God, oh, you are remarkable. Not only do you make this huge, wonderful, gorgeous world, an amazing world, but you chose to make us and give us this precious gift of life and the capacity to love, a capacity that no one else has in all your creation. Lord, we want to be useful. We want our lives to count for something. We want our lives to matter, to make a difference. And we discover that's exactly why you made us. And so today we offer you ourselves. Take us and shape us on your potter's wheel of life. And enlarge our capacity to serve you with love. For it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. One of the ways in which Jesus really tried to bring this home to his disciples was through the celebration of one of their Jewish sacraments that Jesus turned into a new one, changed its meaning entirely. And for us, it's called Holy Communion. Will you join me? The elements have been consecrated. We won't go through the liturgy today because I'm too winded. A preacher. But you're invited to come and to allow these elements that God has given us as a way to remember who we are and whose we are. Let them open you up to the power of God to work in you. Let us pray. Mighty God, we thank you for these gifts. Oh, you give us so many gifts, but these are most precious of all. They tell us you gave us yourself. And so we come as a reminder of that and offer ourselves back to you. Amen.
Would you stand as we sing our closing hymn?
Please feel free to stay and pray as long as you would like. But now may the great potter who made you go with you and empower you with his Holy Spirit, fill you with his love so that you can be his love for others in this world. Amen.